كبرت كلمة تخرج من أفواههم إن يقولون إلا كذبا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، له الملك وله الحمد وإليه ترجع الأمور. وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا وحبيبنا محمدا عبده ورسوله، أرسله الله تعالى بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة. من يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز، ومن يعصهما فقد ضل ضلالا بعيدا. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فيا أيها الإخوة المؤمنون، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن الكريم: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة وإنها لكبيرة إلا على الخاشعين. صدق الله العظيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who have iman, seek help in patience and in prayer. And truly that is difficult except for those who have khushu'. What is khushu'? There's no single English word that gives its true meaning. It means something like a quietness and a humility of the heart. It means something that is visible upon our outward form. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once saw a man who was fidgeting a lot during his salat. And he said, لَوْ خَشَعَ قَلْبُهُ لَخَشَعَتْ جَوَارِهُ. If that person's heart were calm and humble, then his limbs, his body, would be calm and humble as well. We all know that if we fidget a lot, if we're always moving, we're always distracted, if we're always looking this way and that, then that is because there is something similar going on in the heart. By the awliya, because of their inward tumatnina and their inward calm, are outwardly calm, outwardly serene as well. But in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explicitly referring to the khushu', which is something that facilitates the prayer. The prayer, like any form of endurance, is difficult because we have our own inclinations. There's other things that part of us would much rather be doing. And it's kabira, it's a difficult thing except for those who have this khushu'. The ego, the shaitan, the fir'aun within each one of us wants us to be doing 1,001 different exciting things. And it's difficult not to obey that unless we have that entity within us well under control. When we are inwardly khashi'un, in the state of khushu', then these practices become easier. Everything in religion is easy if you have your ego under control. Everything in religion, even the most obvious and the most basic and the most beautiful things, is difficult if inwardly you're a kind of raging tyrannosaur. That's the real meaning of ad-din yusr. Religion is ease. Religion, if it's inward as well as outward, is the easiest thing, and everything else is being a desperate, agitated slave to the turbulences of the self. Ad-din yusr. Religion is easy. But we make it difficult for ourselves by not keeping those inward demons, the monkeys and the pigs and the donkeys within, under control. To the extent that we think we should give them some leeway, everything else, all of the beautiful things in our lives become difficult. Even the matter of prayer itself. So Allah links specifically this issue of sabr to salat and says these two things are difficult unless you have this khushu' within. There's another connection. In fact, it comes up frequently in the Quran and in the hadith, the connection between the principle of khushu', inward humility and self-giving, and the outward practice of prayer. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. The people of Iman, the Mu'minun, have succeeded, those who are in their prayers humble. And we all know that there's a whole list of ayahs that goes on after that, and many other virtues of the Mu'minun that characterize their falah, or their salvation, referred to. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ. Those who restrain their lower desires. All of those things are listed, but the first thing in the list is the prayer. This first thing is the prayer. And it's not just any old prayer, it's Alladina hum fi salatihim khashi'un, those who are humble in their prayer. Not those who are arrogant, who are showing off, whether it be to other people or to themselves, but those whose inward state is the state of khushu'. And this is one of the axioms of the spiritual life in Islam. Outward things are easy if inwardly we are at ease with ourselves. If inwardly there is a war going on and we're not quite sure who's winning, then the outward things start to get difficult. We can still keep them up, but it becomes harder and harder. And to the extent that we start losing that battle within and we make little concessions and we give ourselves little treats that we know are not quite right, then the outward things start to become harder and harder. And the prayer is the first thing that starts to slip. But the first thing in the prayer that starts to slip is the khushu'. And the Salaf, radiallahu anhum, used to speak a lot about this and used to warn about it. Sayyidina Hudayfa ibn al-Yaman, radiallahu anhu, one of the great Sahaba. He was called Sahibul Sirrin Nabi, the holder of the Prophet's secret, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what was the secret? Well, it was a secret, so the ulama have to guess. They think perhaps the Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, confided in him about some of the fitan, some of the extraordinary tribulations that would happen towards the end of time. Allahu a'lam. But we know that he had this particular privilege, and a man of spiritual wisdom and insight, one of the people of the Suffa, one of the great ones amongst the Sahaba, very close to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says specifically, as a warning to the Ummah, أَوَّلُ مَا تَفْقِدُونَ مِنْ دِينِكُمْ الْخُشُوعُ. The first thing that you lose of your deen is khushu'. You keep up the prayer, you fast in Ramadan, you eat halal, you do all of those other things. The first thing that starts to go, if you're in a good state and that starts to slip, is this inward calmness and the sincerity that makes everything else easy. The mosque might still be full of people, but inwardly, things might not be quite right. The first thing to decay in any Muslim community is this issue of khushu'. And this is a prediction from Sayyidina Hudayfa, radiallahu anhu. And we know that the Muslim Ummah, alhamdulillah, is full of people who pray. In many Muslim countries, most people pray 5 times a day or more, alhamdulillah. We're more or less unique amongst the Ummahs for that. But inwardly, there is often a turmoil. Inwardly, the meaning of the prayer is often lost. And that's a very dangerous thing. A reminder, once again, that Islam is not just what you do with your outward form, but is primarily what you do with your inward. And the outward, once you conform it to the fiqh and to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, comes naturally and easily. It becomes the thing that you want to do. A prayer that comes about because you're in this state of khushu' means that you're magnetized by the mosque. That's where you want to be. You're with the jama'ah, and that's where you want to be. All of the things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commands become the things that your inner self is also commanding you to do. Which is the meaning of the hadith, لا يؤمن أحدكم, not one of you has real faith, حتى يكون هواه, until his personal preference, his whim, is وفقاً لما جئت به, is in conformity with that which I have brought. And that's a very high degree. It's like the degrees of the awliya. Religion is often sabr, is often conforming ourselves to things that we find difficult. But if what you really want to do, your immediate impulse in every situation coincides with the sunnah of the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that's the reality of iman. That's what he's speaking about, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the basic principle. But this khushu', this humility, this inward submissiveness, which is part of ubudiyyah, part of slavehood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is precisely that which conforms us to everything else in creation. We say of all of the birds and the trees and everything else in creation, كُلٌّ يَعْلَمُ صَلَاتَهُ وَتَسْبِيحَهُ. Everything in the world knows its prayer and its form of glorification. We may not immediately see how they do that. We know that the form of prayer, of birds and fish and so forth, is really different from our form of prayer. So in what sense is there something in common? When we say we pray, we do Allahu Akbar and we pray the Muslim way 5 times a day. What's the linkage between that and the way in which everything else in creation is also praying? The linkage is this khushu', this ubudiyyah, this submissiveness, this complete openness and surrender to the divine, because that's the state of the rest of creation. And that is the state that human beings, as potentially Adamic, individuals are called upon to be part of, so that we too have an obodiah that is the appropriate obodiah for Bani Adam, just as everything else can't get away from its state of obodiah. We have the capacity to choose something wrong. That's the miracle and the mystery of the human condition. But everything else in creation is in this state of khushu'. Sometimes we think religion is about getting away from our natures. It's about getting away from human nature. Human nature is something low, base, animalistic. It's a misunderstanding. Religion is about coming in conformity with our natures, being at peace with our natures. And the sunnah is the way of being a natural, normal human being. Everything else is strange and unnatural and destructive. Destructive to ourselves, destructive to others, destructive to families, destructive now to the environment, to the global economy. Everything else in a state is in a state of absence of mizan, absence of balance. Islam is the return to nature. It is din al-fitra. It is the religion of fitra. And that means, more than anything else, adopting the state of khushu', of humble self-surrender, self-giving, that is the state of everything else in creation. We know that there are these wonderful signs verses in Allah's book, the ayat. And one of them says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ, one of his signs is, أَنْ تَرَى الْأَرْضَ خَاشِعَةً, that you see the earth خَاشِعَةً, in a state of khushu'. فَإِذَا أَنْزَلْنَا عَلَيْهَا الْمَاءَ اهْتَزَّتْ وَرَبَتْ, and when we send down upon it the water, it shakes and grows. اهْتَزَّتْ, quakes, literally. Of course, you have to do time-lapse photography to see that happening, but Allah sees things in every possible sequence, and that's what happens. The rain comes down, and there's the miracle of the spring, there's the miracle of the flowers in the desert, there's the miracle of life. Without water, everything is without life. And then grows, warabat, like riba, that which grows. The water is upon the earth, and the natural state of the earth is khashi'atan, submissive, completely helpless. What can the earth do? What can the desert do at all, unless the rain comes? And what ability does the desert have to make the rain fall? What ability does anything in creation which needs water have to make the water fall upon it? This is one of the beautiful amthila, one of the beautiful symbols that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts in his book in order to attract our hearts. Because we know intuitively, without even having it spelled out to us, that that's how we are. Without the rain of mercy and guidance, and its purest form, which is prophecy, what are our hearts? What is the human condition? Just a desert. We don't have the ability to reach up to heaven and squeeze the clouds and make the rain come down. Nothing in creation is able to do that. We're in the state of khushu', of helpless submissiveness and waiting. That's the meaning of Islam itself. It's complete self-surrender to how things are and how things have to be. And the rahmah and the rain, they're very similar. In some Muslim languages, rahmat actually means rain. And the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who is a man of the fitrah, once came out of his house in Medina, and there was the courtyard of the mosque, and it had started to rain, and he took off his blessed cloak, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he spread it out. And they asked him, what are you doing, Ya Rasulullah? And he says, إِنَّهُ لَحَدِيثُ الْعَهْدِ بِرَبِّهِ, it's just come from its Lord. Because he could see, he could intuit, that this is pure gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he has created the world with this wonderful balance, so that every part of the world receives a greater or a lesser share of water. And so it is with human souls. That's the parallel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is setting up for us. And similarly, at the end of time, what could be more improbable than resurrection after we've become dust and bones? But, وَكَذَلِكَ تُخْرَجُونَ, thus shall you be raised up. The resurrection, when life is nothing but a desert, and people are only following their passions and their hawa, comes at the most unexpected moment, and suddenly the graves are opened and humanity grows again like plants. That's part of Allah's creation, and he can do it. Bala wa huwa al-khallaq al-alim, he's all-creating, all-knowing. He can do it. He can do as he wills. That is just another expression of his sending down. He sends down rain and produces life. He sends down revelation and produces spiritual life. He sends the extraordinary resuscitation at the end of time, and once again life comes together with revelation, and everything is is visible, يَوْمَ تُبْلَى السَّرَائِرِ, on the day when all secrets are made plain, including those secrets of religion that we find so hard to understand, they all become clear on that day. So we need this khushu' in order to become human. It's unreal for us to strut around the world as if we owned the place, because we don't. We come and we go. We don't last for very long. What right do we have to walk around as though we were kings? Who al khalaq al baqi? That's what we often put on our tombstones, two of the divine names. He is the creator, he is the one who is eternal. There was a time when we were not, he was, there will be a time when we are not, and he is still. And we just have this very short period where our candle burns and then it goes out, and he goes on forever. Kullu man alayha fan. Everything that is upon it shall pass away. وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. And there shall remain the face of your Lord, possessed of majesty and bounty. We know this. We all know that death is the yaqeen. وَعَبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينِ. Worship your Lord until that which is certain comes to you. But still, we want to mess up. We want to be little tyrants. We want to assume within ourselves some of the independence and some of the glory and some of the freedom of the divine. That's what Fir'aun does. He's setting himself up as an alternative to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He even believes that he can go up in a tower and that Allah is somehow a being equivalent to himself. And la'alli attali'u ala ilahi Musa. Perhaps I will be able to see the God of Musa, but I think that he's lying. That's the mentality. To the extent that we have this pride within ourselves, we tend to belittle the divine. To the extent that we humble ourselves, then the glory of the divine becomes intuitively clear to us. And that is one reason why the Holy Prophet ﷺ prayed to be resurrected amongst the poor. Not amongst the kings and the proud of the earth, nor even necessarily amongst the great mullahs with their big turbans and the qadis and the muftis, but amongst the masakeen, amongst the poor, because of the purity of their heart and the relative ease which they experience in having this khushu', in having this awareness of their own weakness. But this doesn't mean that we have to push ourselves down. It really doesn't. Because the Prophet ﷺ once saw a man who was kind of in a state of such kind of submissiveness that he was kind of slumping, slouching, and sort of looking down all the time, and looked like a kind of down and out. And the Prophet ﷺ went to him and said, "Al-khushu'u hahuna wa ashara ila qalbi, wa laysa hahuna wa ashara ila mankibay." Khushu', humility, is here, and he pointed to his heart. It's not here, and he touched the man's shoulders. The believer in this state of khushu' to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not supposed to be some kind of shambling down and out, a tramp. The believer is supposed to be a splendid person because لَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي Adam. We have ennobled the sons of Adam. And the most dignified and the most splendid human being is actually the one precisely who is humbling himself most before his Lord. And the most pathetic being is the multi-billionaire who's constantly obsessed with making the next billion or with dealing with a rival whose personal life is often something that's anything but honorable and dignified. So we can have these ni'am, these blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the Muslim. We're not supposed to be shambling wrecks in public. So he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ مَنْ كَانَ فِي قَلْبِهِ مِثْقَالُ ذَرَّةٍ مِنْ كِبْرٍ. No one shall enter the garden who has in his heart a mustard grain's weight of pride. وَلَا يَدْخُلُ النَّارَ مَنْ كَانَ فِي قَلْبِهِ مِثْقَالُ ذَرَّةٍ مِنْ إِيمَانٍ. And he shall not enter the fire who has in his heart so much as a mustard grain's weight of iman. فَقَالَ رَجُلٌ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. A man said, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ إِنَّ فُلَانًا يُحِبُّ أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُ ثَوْبًا حَسَنًا. Ya Rasulullah, somebody might want to have a beautiful thawb, a beautiful garment. In other words, is that pride? Does that mean that we have to be kind of shambling tramps? فَقَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمِيلٌ يُحِبُّ الْجَمَالِ. Allah is beautiful and he loves beauty. This is part of the beauty of Islam, that it's all about what's in the heart. And he goes on, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at the close of the hadith and says, Al-kibru man batara al-haq wa ghammas al-nas. Pride, arrogance, is to defy the true God, al-haq, and to look down on other people. That's the real state. That's that absence of khushu' in the heart. You can be a person who's well off, who's successful, who has a good career, who looks good, who has a comfortable car, and your heart is submissive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes that's difficult. But Islam does not rule out that combination. And if you can do it, it's a very good combination. Sometimes also we can appear to be, mashallah, darawish, sort of poor people who don't care about the dunya, and we shamble around and we look like tramps. But inwardly, we're absolutely full of pride and we don't have any khushu' at all. So it's about the heart. The khushu' is about the heart. Imam al-Junayd, radiallahu anh, used to say, al-khushu' tadallul al-qulub bi'alam al-qulub. It's the self-humbling of the hearts to the one who knows all secrets. And that's the real inward meaning of khushu'. It's about an inward state. And it comes from iman and it comes from knowledge. To the extent that you know your Lord, and you know the absoluteness and the greatness of your Lord, you will be aware of the weakness of yourself. But to the extent also that you know the generosity and the beauty and the compassion and the goodness of your Lord, you will have an optimism and a desire to serve. And it's those two things that make up the essence of khushu'. Love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala combined with knowledge of His unity and His power lead to this inward state of khushu'. Once we have that inward state of khushu', everything else in Allah's religion, including, most importantly, the salat, will come easily. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the blessing of praying on time, and we ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the blessing of being inwardly worshipping as we worship outwardly, and to resurrect us, inshallah, with the people who are pure of heart and in the company of His beloved Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aqulu qawli hadha, wa astaghfirullaha li wa lakum, wa ya fawza al-mustaghfirin. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله الملك الحق المبين محمد رسول الله صادق الوعد الأمين يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون واعلموا أن الله قد أمركم بأمر عظيم أمركم بالصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين فقال جل ثناؤه إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك والنار يا عالم السر منا لا تهتك الستر عنا وعافنا واعف عنا وكن لنا حيث كنا يا ذا الجلال والإكرام أمتنا على دين الإسلام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام أمتنا على دين الإسلام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام أمتنا على دين الإسلام ووفق اللهم ولاة أمور المسلمين إلى العمل بكتاب الله وسنة سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون وأقم الصلاة